here. We thank God for another opportunity to be in His house, and thank you for Tabernacle Baptist Church. A lot to pray for in just a few minutes. A lot of people still sick, and we believe in prayer, and we thank God for answered prayer. And pray for our pastor this morning as he preaches the Word. Remember each Sunday school teacher. Good to have Sandy back. She's feeling pretty good today. We thank God for that. And all right, let's open up our bulletins. Just a few announcements we're going to cover. The pastor's getting together an Israel trip meeting tonight after the PM service. If you're interested, don't forget that. March 23rd is the Easter outreach. And I want to read this to you, what's in the bulletin. I love this, an outreach for March 23rd. Everything has been different since the Son of God climbed Calvary. Life has been different. Death has been different. Sin has been different. Faith and hope and love have been different. Round the wide universe, the arms of the cross have reached. Its head has touched the heavens. Its shaft has gone down deep as hell. Here was the church's message from the very day of its birth. Christ died for our sins. I really like that. Prayer chain captains for this week is Gene and Wade Elders. So if you have a prayer need, don't forget to always call the prayer chain. We love our prayer chain. Don't forget about the Monday Minute. The pastor's going back to this Monday Minute, so don't forget that, as he'll be sending the emails out for the Monday Minute. We appreciate that. All righty, we're going to have some prayer requests this morning. Anybody have a prayer request they need to make known this morning to the church? Don't forget to pray for Candy and Charity, our two daughters, that God will bring them back to the fold. I want to thank everybody for your prayers, and please continue to pray for Stephanie. This is my niece, my twin brother's daughter. She's doing okay after her second surgery. She's in Asheville, North Carolina at that big hospital. I cannot remember the name of it. But she is doing okay. They had her up and walking. So they're still trying to get a little bit of fluid out of her lungs, but she's recovering very slowly. So please continue to pray for her. This is the third time she's had open heart surgery. And she's just like, 41 years old, I believe? 41 years old. So thank you for all your prayers for Stephanie, and please continue to pray. My twin brother's wife, Becky, is over in Asheville, and, of course, Stephanie's husband, Todd. They're all over at the Asheville Hospital staying however long they need to. Pray for Ron and Joan. They'd love to be here. I talked to Joan about a week ago, and she's got a few issues going on. Of course, Ron is doing a little bit better, but pray for him. Ray and Sally, we miss them when they're not here. Pray for Sally and Ray. Robert and Phyllis, I don't see them here this morning. We always pray for them and always remember Robert. He's got some issues going on, health issues. Hubert and Margie, they usually come for 11 o'clock worship. Pray for them. Susie's sister, I believe Cleo, is still in rehab in South Carolina. Don't forget to pray for her. Grace Sexton, Sandy was able to talk to her on Facebook. She's still got some stomach problems, and her daughter is slowly getting better, Madison, so don't forget to continue to pray for them. Tina Trout is going to have some tests done, I believe, this week. Pray for her. Continue to pray for the Gerald Rose family. Gerald went on to be with the Lord, and pray for the family that God's grace will be sufficient. Joe Robinette's doing good. I was able to see him this week. Charles and Patsy. Patsy is Phyllis's twin sister, and they've got health problems. Please pray for them. Pray for Buck's granddaughter, Kaylee. Larry and Alice McClellan, please pray for them as Alice has some issues. And then James and Debbie, I'm not sure, I don't see them here this morning, but James always wants us to pray for his son in California for salvation. All right. Anybody else have a prayer request we need to make known this morning? We thank God for each one of you. Pray for the Mark Williams family. They're on vacation. Pray for them as they're away, and they left on yesterday. All right. No other prayer requests this morning? We thank Olivia for running the Facebook and the streaming back there in the sound booth. We thank God for that. It's hard to tell how many people that we really do reach with this technology. Yes. Oh, okay. Okay. Pray for Miss Sandy and her fibro pain. All right, we thank God for answered prayer, and we thank him for he knows every burden that we have. All right, let's go to Lord in prayer if we could. Father, we thank you for another opportunity to be here at Tabernacle Baptist Church. We praise you for what it stands for. Thank you for all the Sunday school classes. Please empower each teacher, Father, and give us the courage to teach your word. And we thank you for our pastor. Please empower him with the word today and give him, I know you give him the message that we need to hear, Father, and we praise you for that. And Father, we thank you for this opportunity to praise you again, that we can come and worship you in spirit and truth. And Father, we have so many prayer needs this morning. We know, Father, that you know each one. Thank you that Sandy was able to come this morning, be with her, and ease her fibro pain this morning. Pray for Candy and Charity, that you'll bring them back to the fold. Please be with Stephanie, Father. She's been through so much. She's had two heart surgeries in the last 15 days, Lord, and I just pray that you'll touch her. Please, Lord, be with her as she recovers from this surgery. Pray that they'll be able to get the fluid out of her lungs and be with Becky and Todd as they're with her. Give them grace and strength. Thank you for Ron and Joan. They'd love to be here. Please be with them and touch them. Thank you for Ray and Sally, Father. Give Ray strength as he takes care of Sally. They're not able to be here. We think of Robert and Phyllis. They're usually here, Father. We pray that you'll touch them and be with Robert's health needs, Father. You know each and every one of those. We pray that you'll touch him in a special way. Thank you for Hubert and Margie. Be with Cleo, Susie's sister in South Carolina. Touch her. We think of Grace Sexton, Father. She's had so many issues, health issues with her stomach. And thank you that her daughter Madison's on her way to getting better. Be with Tina Trout. She's having some tests done this week. Be with the Rose family. Give them grace and strength that only you can. Thank you that Joe Robinette's doing good. Continue to be with him. Thank you for Charles and Patsy. Father, they have so many health needs according to Phyllis. Lord, I pray that you'll touch them in a special way. Be with Buck's granddaughter, Father. We pray, Kelly, that you'll bring her back to the fold. And Father, be with Larry and Alice McClellan. Father, be with their health needs. And we think of James and Debbie not here this morning. Please touch them. And thank you, Father, that you're watching over his son. We pray for salvation for his son there in California, Lord, and you know all about it. Thank you, Father, for answered prayer. Thank you for listening to us this morning, Father, and thank you for giving us a church that we can come and worship you. Father, we do pray for anyone in our Sunday school classes or worship hour at 11 o'clock that's without Christ, that they'll accept Christ as their personal Savior before it's everlasting too late. For we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk about something this morning. I know that you've probably thought about it. Lost and found, God's extended grace. You know, when we think of lost and found, maybe the first thing we think of, have you ever lost something that you had a hard time finding? Have you ever lost something that was important? We all lost something in our lives at one time or another, and sometimes it could be a panic situation. Maybe if you're like me, you misplace your car keys sometimes and can't find them. I've misplaced my glasses. I've misplaced different things, and thank God I finally found them. Business and schools have what they call a lost and found office. When someone loses something, hopefully it's taken, not stolen by that person, but taken to the lost and found office, wherever it may be in that building. Hopefully the person will come by and pick it up. But don't give up if you've lost something. I want to tell you about a couple of true stories here about lost and found. In 1995, Lena Paulson from Sweden lost her wedding ring while working in the kitchen. She had the ring designed herself, and it contained several diamonds and was worth a lot of money. They tore the whole kitchen apart, taking the floor tile up, cleaning the kitchen counters. They never found it. But would you believe 16 years later, outside in the backyard in their garden, they never lost it in the kitchen, but working in the garden after all these years, they found her ring. It was there in the dirt, under the dirt in the garden. It must have been there for several years. They found it right there in the middle of the garden. It had rolled around in the dirt for all those years, and they found it. Another episode happened in 2008. A 75-year-old grandmother, her name was Billy Watts. from Murfreesboro, Tennessee. This happened in 2008. She went into the restroom at a Cracker Barrel restaurant. Inside the stall was hanging a bag on the hook. She said, well, somebody must have left this. So she took the bag off the hook, and inside the bag was a picture of two ladies and $97,000 in cash. That's hard to believe, isn't it? There was $97,000 in cash in that bag. And Miss Watson, this alarmed her, so she took it, let the restaurant staff and the managers know what was going on. Well, they didn't know what to do with the money. They didn't know who left it. So they decided that Miss Billy Watts would take it home with her and keep it safe until somebody called. Well, that evening, somebody called and was in panic. That same evening, a lady called the restaurant in great distress. So Mrs. Watts met this lady and learned that the photographed picture was her recent daughter that had died about a week ago, and the cash had been contents of her daughter's safe. They had not made it to the bank yet, and that's where the money was and belonged to this lady that her daughter had left. The lady even offered Miss Watts a $1,000 reward for keeping the money safe. Miss Watts declined it. She wouldn't take it. She just wanted to be a good Samaritan, and she just wanted to be a part of an emotional lost and found story. Those are two great stories about found and lost. But you know what is even more exciting than these two stories that we talked about? Jesus also loved lost and found stories. Jesus also loved it. Jesus told three of his lost and found stories in Luke chapter 15, if you remember those. The woman lost and found her coin. The shepherd who found and lost his sheep, and the prodigal son was lost and finally came home. Have you ever thought about the fact that you and I are lost and found stories? How wonderful and how amazing our own experience is, truly a miracle from God. Anytime anybody's lost and found by the Lord is a miracle. So the question is, it comes to our mind, how does Jesus search for us? And what does the Lord Jesus use as a tool? I just want to talk about that today, the lost and found. If we think of our own experience, we know that Jesus found us when we were lost. Could have been a few years ago, it could have been several years ago. When we were lost without Jesus, Jesus found us. We went searching for something, and we finally found Jesus as our Savior. And we're going to answer those two questions in just a moment, how He works. I want you to turn to Matthew. I just want to read three verses for our text. Only three verses found in Matthew chapter number 16. I want to read verses 24 through 26. Matthew chapter 16. Verses 24 through 26. This is Jesus talking. Verse 24, it says, "Then Jesus said unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." And then verse 26, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his own soul?" Boy, those are some important verses that Jesus had to say to the disciples. If you gain the whole world and what's in it, if you gain the whole world, what do we have if we don't have Jesus? If we have everything in the world that we could possibly have, what's it mean to us if we don't have Jesus as our Savior? I want to give you four things here, how Jesus searches and what he uses to find people. I want to answer these two questions this morning. The first one is, the Lord definitely uses people for his glory. Have you ever thought about people in your own life and years ago? How people maybe witnessed to you, it could have been a certain person that led you to Christ. It could have been a convention you went to, could have been a revival, could have been in your own home when the pastor was there, it could have been just about anywhere. But you see, the Lord uses people, all kinds of people. If you look in the Bible, he used all sorts of people in the Bible to tell others, to use people's lifestyle and to use their examples. I look at Paul, how God used him. What about Peter, James, Timothy, Luke? We can go on, the Good Samaritan. He used all these men in a special way to lead others to Christ. But let's bring it down to today, where we're at. God uses so many people in our own lives. He can use family members, co-workers, ordinary people in our community, strangers. He can use so many people to get out the gospel, to let others know about Christ. I know that Joel Phillips is not in here this morning, but he's told me a couple of times about his testimony, and he was working at the Eastman. Lost, never knew much about the Bible. He never came to church. And during a lunch break, a co-worker came up to him and started talking about the Lord, talking about their church. And Joel listened, and the Holy Spirit came in that conversation. And during that moment, during the lunch hour at work, Joel was saved, born again. All it took was one person to come up to a lost soul and start talking, and Joel accepted the good news. This is one example of many we could tell you. There was a pastor from Boston, Massachusetts that wrote about his conversion in the Gospel Coalition. This is what he wrote, quote, "I was very lost. I knew nothing about the Bible, so I brought my questions to a co-worker who I knew was saved. He answered all my questions, and he led me to the Lord, and I became a pastor a few years later." What about that? What about that experience? The man was lost and undone, didn't know anything about the Bible, didn't know anything about God, and a co-worker told him about Jesus. 2 or 3 years later, he was called to preach the gospel. You see, the same experience has happened right here in our own community. We all know stories about whether it be our own church, people in our community, neighbors. You see, God can use each and every one of us as a tool. Remember last week we talked about God's toolbox? God can use each and every one of us, whether it be our testimony, whether it be our witness, whether it be our lifestyle, the way we act, our behavior. You see, people's looking at our life. We not realize it, but people's looking at our life, especially lost people. They're probably thinking in their mind, is that person really different? I hope that we are. We as believers are the voice of Christ, and our Christian example is a witness to others. And when other people see us, and you know, they know a little bit about us, they know that we're a child of the King. If they know that there's a difference, we praise God for that, because we ought to be a different people. We want to please the Lord. We don't want to please the world. We don't want to please others. We want to please the Lord. So God uses people in so many different ways, and he did this in the Bible just as well. I want to go to Matthew chapter 5. I just got one verse I want to read you. We should know this by heart. Matthew 5:16. It says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." You know, Christ was an example in the Bible to his disciples. So many scriptures, if we had time to go and read how Christ was his example to his disciples and how he wanted them to know about what was coming forth, about his own life. He taught them different things about Christian living. And all kinds of men in the Bible were a witness for him. Look at number 2. We haven't thought about this a whole lot, but the Lord uses programs in a church to reach people. You know, I think of the different youth ministries that we've been a part of in past years. We think of the Awana Club. We think of the Master's Club here at church. What about Children's Church at the 11 o'clock service? What about Sunday School, the Sunday School Hour, the outreach on Saturdays, visitation, people from churches going into homes, going into hospitals? You see, these programs are essential. that are used by God and used through the church. What about vacation Bible school? What about youth camp? All these things are a part of a church, and they're programs to reach out and reach the lost. Yes. Christmas plays. Yes, ma'am. I love Christmas plays. Christmas time is a wonderful time to get the gospel out. Have you ever thought about the streaming and Facebook that we started here at Tabernacle? We mentioned it a while ago, the many people that could be watching and the streaming that we do, and if they open up their Facebook, the Tabernacle link, I couldn't tell you how many people come through and watch, whether it be the Sunday school or mainly the 11 o'clock worship. They get to see the whole services, and it's just a wonderful technology that we have that people that cannot get out because of disabilities, because of sickness, because of their illness. You see, in our society today, experts are saying that there are 16 billion cell phones and mobile devices in our world today. All the programs that we have as churches can become a magnet to draw people to Christ. That is unbelievable, 16 billion cell phones in the whole world. Our outreach for lost souls is just infinite, unlimited. Lost souls can be found through the programs that the churches have. We want those programs to be geared toward Christ and for the lost. I know the youth camp's coming up in June for the young people. We've got a spring revival coming up the end of April. We've got children's church that's going to be happening at 11 o'clock worship. We've got Sunday school classes all over the property here at Tabernacle Baptist. We can go on and on with the programs that churches have to reach souls for Christ. And God uses those programs. There's been people saved in Sunday school classes in the worship hour during the invitation. There's been people saved in their own homes because of programs. There's been people saved at youth camps during Christmas cantatas or Christmas plays. We can go on and on. We thank God for the works that's happening here at Tabernacle Baptist. And you know, it takes people. It takes dedicated people to get these programs going and dedicated people that care about lost souls. And we have all kinds of people like that here at Tabernacle Baptist Church. And we thank God for them. We thank God that we have these programs, that we have that kind of an outreach. And I know that in the last several years with our streaming and the Facebook that we're on, so many people, there's people not only from the United States, but I know Sandy might remember the guy's name. He's from a foreign country, but he's been watching for I don't know how long. Yep, Sandy's got the Facebook, so I have to go with her. I don't have it on my phone, but just like she said, several people that's out of the United States that even come and open up the link, and there you go. You have the Sunday school hours. You have the worship hour at 11 o'clock that people that can't get out, or maybe they can't get to a church service. God uses all these programs and the technology that we have today. It's no wonder our children and grandchildren are going to be smarter than we are with the technology that we have. But we thank God for all the technology, because when you have an outreach for souls, that's what it's all about. And we thank God for it. I believe that some of these programs as an outreach for lost souls can be found and saved by the blood of Jesus. We know that. We thank God for it. And I look at the programs here at Tabernacle and the things that are going on. Yes, we in some departments we're in a growing season. We realize the pandemic really hurt a lot of churches, and a lot of churches are still trying to grow, trying to get members in, trying to get people saved. We realize that. And in some of our programs, we're on a growing, I guess, a growing spurt, if you want to put it that way. And we just thank God for the new families that have come in. We always want to pray for souls to be saved. Look at number three. Sometimes we don't think about this one, but the Lord uses problems in our life to get the gospel out. Even for our own life, when we go through problems and issues and we go through trials and burdens and storms, Did you know that God can use that to help us to be a witness to others? We can help others that may have been through something similar. Have you ever thought when some folks have went through troubles or storms or burdens or even heartache, God can use several of these to convict and draw folks to Christ? There's been people that's lost that have gotten sick, illnesses in the hospital. They've been through a tragedy, a trial, a heartache, and through that heartache, God has intervened, and during that time, their soul has been saved. Sometimes it takes a certain adversity, a certain trial, to cause someone to realize, hey, I am lost. I need something different. My life's a wreck. My life is lost. I've been turning to things I shouldn't turn to. I've been trying to find happiness and peace in different ways. But we all know people, some people that saved through their storms, through their trials, that were lost, and they finally come to realize that through their adversity, they needed to be saved. Some of us have experienced how God can bring good results out of bad circumstances. Can you think in your own life and my life, the good results out of bad circumstances? How the darkest of times that we go through can be a help to us. Exactly. Yes, Sandy lost her dad when we were dating. That's how many years ago it's been. He was 40. Sandy's dad was 42 years old while we were dating and had a massive heart attack, never been to the doctor, never had any health issues. He was a small man, 5'7", 135 pounds, and God took him to heaven. And who all was saved during that, Sandy, in the family? That's just one example that happened several years ago when Sandy's dad went to heaven at an early age. How many people just within that family were saved because of that instance? We thank God for it. But you see, when we all go through dark days, we're going to be looking up. We're going to ask God to help us. We're going to go through the valley. We want God to reach down and touch us. And even if we're saved during that period, we have something that we can tell others that would need it, others that might want to know our story, others that might have been through the same thing. You see, often these ways are preparing our heart towards God with humility and conviction. Holy Spirit works in so many different ways. He can convict our heart during any times in our life, whether it be through darkness, the lonely valleys, whether it be through the good times. You know, our church supports so many missionaries. I know it's over 100. I couldn't tell you the exact number. But you look at those people that are out in foreign countries or somewhere in the United States that's sharing the gospel to so many people, and a lot of them are starting new churches. Some of these missionaries that we support are starting new churches. Well, how God uses these missionaries. You know, we talked about the programs a while ago. He's going to use all these missionaries to bring souls to heaven. And that's why it makes us feel great, and that we're a part of that. If we give to missions and that faith promise, we're a part of that. These missionaries that are going out, some of them's been on the field 30, 35, 40 years. And they're still reaching souls for the gospel, and souls are being saved because of their efforts. And we thank God for it. God has used problems to move folks from being lost to being found. That's what the whole lesson is about this morning. Lost, but then found. God's grace is sufficient. We thank God for His grace in our own life. Praise God for how He works in our lives, whether it be during the bad times or during the good times. And we all can think of different things that's happened in our past lives that God has brought us out of. There could be some people right now in a storm. You know, you've heard the old saying, our former pastor, Brother Sturgill, used to say, if you haven't been through a storm, look out because it's coming. Yes. You know, storms is a part of life. We go through a storm, a burden. Well, we thank God that he's there. He listens to us. He answers our prayers in his own timing. And if we have the Holy Spirit within us, and we should have if we've been saved and born again, he's going to work in our heart. And for us to turn to God and turn to his word, we can find consolation, we can find comfort, we can find peace. You know, it just something that really enters my mind during a lesson like this is how lost people, how can they have peace without Christ? Are they looking for different ways to have peace? Are they looking to the world? Are they looking toward circumstances? Are they looking to whoever? They're trying to find peace and joy out of different things in life that may bring it for a season, might bring it for a short time, but it won't last. The ones of us that's been saved and born again know that we can only have peace and joy through the Lord Jesus. That's the only way we can. We know that's real. We know that we've experienced that. We cannot have real peace without Christ. We can't have real peace without his scriptures. We can't have joy within our heart. You know, we get happy a lot of times about the happy things in life. We all enjoy things in our life, but that true joy only comes from him. How do lost people make it? What do they turn to? That goes right along with our lesson as far as lost and then found. These people that are lost without the Savior, somebody's going to be coming into their life, whether it be with their lifestyle, their example, their witness, prayers, whatever means that God has. Those lost people hopefully will hear what it means to be saved and hear a little bit about the gospel. I want to read the last verses here, and these are found over in Psalms chapter 9. Found these verses here. Psalms chapter 9, I want to read verses 9 and 10. Psalms chapter 9, verses 9 and 10. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. The scriptures makes it pretty clear throughout many, many scripture verses that he's going to take us through whatever we go through, whatever valley we go through, whatever burden we go through. A lot of us right now have people on our hearts that we've prayed for. Could be for months, some for years. Could be within our own family. We don't understand a lot of times how life goes. We don't understand why people choose their lifestyle. They choose different things in their life to be a part of their life. And a lot of it's not godly. A lot of it's not praising the Lord. And we just have to keep on praying and ask God to bring somebody into their life, whether it be me or you or somebody else, to let them know that Christ loves them. There's people praying for them. What you're doing is wrong, but we still love you. Lost and found. We can be a part of that. We can ask God to use us. Every day we should ask God to use us. Wherever we may go, neighborhood, out to work, wherever we may go, vacation. We'll never know when we could have a lost person right in our own midst. Well, no doubt, according to the scriptures, they need to be found. But they need to be found, and the Lord can work through so many people, and his grace is sufficient, just like he did in the Bible. He used so many people. But the lost and found should always be on our minds. Because we never know when we'll run into somebody that's lost. We never know it. And we thank God that he can use us as a witness. He can use us for his glory. He can use us to maybe make somebody else's day brighter. People are going through storms right now. Some people are sick in the hospital. I know that my twin brother's family is going through a storm with what Stephanie's been through. She had about seven years, a minor heart surgery, but these last 15 days she's had two major heart surgeries. All major. Well, I know these last two, the first one lasted 6.5 hours, and I think this last one lasted about 4 hours. So please pray for them. Other people's going through a storm. God will take us through. He always has and always will. And we have to trust in Him, because His timetable is different than ours, and He's going to take us through any storm. Now, He never promised us we would live without storms. He never promised that. But He did promise us that He'd take us through whatever storm that we go through. And we can rest and assure that the Scriptures are true, the Scriptures that we can take and take them as face value and know that they're always true. Yes, Miss Sandy. No, I didn't. Go ahead. Pray for this family, little dear friends of ours, Ken and Connie Jones. They're members at Higher Ground, but they're just a couple of years older than we are. And she got this Lou Gehrig's disease. I don't know how long she's had it. Maybe a year, yeah. So remember this family as they go through this trial and this storm. All right, does anybody else have anything to add to the lesson? Please pray for the 11 o'clock worship. Our pastor will be preaching. Pray for any new families that come in that will greet them as visitors. And just pray that the Lord's will be done. The Holy Spirit will be powerful in the services today.